Thank you so much for tuning in for the Hour of Intercession. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will.
And we are in for Pastor Joseph Parker, and it's our pleasure to encourage you and to spend an hour in intercession and looking at God's Word. And I thought that what we might do is kind of just have a discussion around the application of the Word of God in our own family and how we have found it very instructive and very critical to the rearing of our children that the Word of God is central. And the things that they are dealing with, these things don't happen in a vacuum.
Yeah.
They happen because the Word of God is true.
Right, right.
Everything that we learn about our character and our personality, these things happen because we are designed by the Creator, and He knows exactly how we tick. He knows how we work. And we have found that when we go to the Word of God and use that as a straight edge for all of our engagement, including the rearing of our children, it produces fruitful results.
And, you know, one thing that comes to mind is that our children are able to understand the Word of God. You know, it's not something that's above them. You know, the Word of God is such a thing where, you know, the young children are able to understand it. They're able to comprehend what's going on, ask questions, sometimes tough questions that we have to come back and say, well, you know, I don't know, but I will study that and come back and have an answer for you. So, you know, and I heard this somewhere and I was like, man, this is so true. Within our children, it's not like the Holy Spirit Junior, you know, it's not like a lower form of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of them. But the Holy Spirit lives in them if they are born again. And so they are able to glean from the Word of God and understand what God is saying through His Word.
Amen. You know, one of the things that we encounter often, with our kids is, like, as you were alluding to, just some of those questions. You know, why is this way? Or even just some of the practical questions. How do they deal with friends in their neighborhood? Or how do they deal with, you know, their siblings and things like that? And we have found that it's so important to take them back to the Word of God. In fact, we do this so routinely. And this is not to toot our own horn, but it's just to say that as parents, we depend on the wisdom that's found in the Scriptures.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nowhere else for us to go. We don't have any type of independent wisdom. I don't think that there is any self-help that we can lean on that is higher than the authoritative Word of God.
Right.
And so one of the things that we have found happen among our kids, certainly our 9-year-old JD, who is very inquisitive. He has so many questions about so many things. And once, he said, he said, Mom, you don't understand. He said, I want to know everything about everything. And I said, no, I do understand, but that is impossible, right? To know everything about everything. And so as much as we can, we try to instruct him and we try to start from the Word of God. And so by habit, making this a habit in our family, what we have discovered is that JD sees the practical application of the Word of God now as a part of his life. And he says routinely, he says, the Bible speaks about everything. And we couldn't arrive there by just telling him, oh, the Bible says this. We show him.
Yeah.
And so when he asks us questions, we take him to the Word of God. And one of the things, and in fact, I was looking at Proverbs with the kids just earlier today and some of our devotion time. We were looking at Proverbs chapter 12 and just having a little bit of a discussion around it. And as we were going through these verses, and which, by the way, so we educate our kids at home. Many people know this. And there's so many different practical ways for us to look at all of the disciplines just by looking at the Word of God.
Yeah.
So we go to Proverbs chapter 12 and the four of us. So this is with the big three and myself in the morning. So the four of us are sitting around the table and we look at Proverbs chapter 12 and then we say, how many verses are there in Proverbs chapter 12? And so someone skips to the end and there are 28 verses. We say, okay, well, how do we divide that up? So now we're working with math. So now we're working with math as we go through the Scriptures. And Gabby goes, okay, so these are four times tables. So she goes for seven. She goes, each of us will get seven verses. And so then we count by sevens. And so that determines where we stop as we're reading. And this is very natural to them. We want them to understand that all of us, as like the whole of the way that we live, is submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We don't compartmentalize our homeschooling where we say, now we're going to learn the real subjects. And then we're going to do our spiritual part. This is all of who we are, made in the image of God, that we live for the glory of God. And so here we have practical math work as we're about to delve into the Scriptures.
And I think it sets the table even for future, like for their families. You know, just seeing this at work within their childhood and as they're growing, you know, it's something to aspire to as they go on and one day have their own families, you know, that this would be a part of what they do, you know, and looking forward even to that, because I think, you know, the groundwork that we lay now, you know, it can reap benefits for the future.
Amen. In verse 16 of Proverbs chapter 12, and here's something that's here's something that is really fun. So we all have our Bibles, and we're going around and we're reading.
Mm-hmm.
And because we say the Word of God is alive, it is the only book we know that searches us in real time. Mm. There is no other book that does this. And I've made this point before in talking to the kids, and Mariah, our oldest, who just turned 13, will say, well, Mom, and she asked this question a couple times, and I think it took a couple times of hearing the difference for her to really understand and to apply the answer. And so she said, well, Mom, I have a question. She said, because you say that the Word of God is alive, and she says that the Word speaks to us.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, I have read books that have really resonated with me.
Mm.
And there are things in these books
that
stand out to me.
Yeah.
And she said, how is that different from the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
I said, Mariah, this is a great question.
Yeah.
I said, these books are standing out to you, and these books resonate with you after the fact that the Word of God is true.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that you see in these books, right, the things that man observes, right, these are not the things that exist before God makes them plain to us,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
These things exist after the fact mm-hmm. that God has made these things plain.
Yeah.
The other thing that is different about books that we read, right, versus the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
is that the Holy Spirit is the author.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit searches way down deep inside us when we're reading the Bible in a way that we could dismiss just a self-help book.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We could dismiss one of those teen, you know, how to live for the glory
right.
of God, which is
right.
great. You
right.
know, those books
right.
are wonderful, and she loves to read those kinds of things.
Mm.
But when we read the Word of God, to understand that we are reading God's words
yeah.
to us.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is the author, right?
Mm.
And so then when you couple that with the fact that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, now the possibilities are endless as far as what the Lord is going to show you.
Mm-hmm.
So we see this happening when we go around the table, Will.
Yeah.
It's amazing, right? So we're going around the table, and each of them, we've divided up. Each person has their seven. And we come to verse 16. All right. And this falls in Gabby's set of readings. So JD takes 1 through 7,
mm-hmm.
and Gabby's got, she starts at verse 8, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she's going through, and well, actually, this goes in Mariah's, this is Mariah's set because Gabby was next, but I noticed that when we got to this, Gabby put her head down. That's what stood out to me about this.
Okay.
Because Gabby has
verse
Gabby has 8 to 14.
Oh, verse 16.
Yeah, but verse 16 was in Mariah's set.
Okay.
So Mariah reads this verse, and I'm going to read it, and we can have a conversation around
okay.
it. But I paused for a second because I noticed that Gabby put her head down further as we were reading, which is that moment that each of us has as we're reading the Word of God and it searches us.
Yeah.
You know, it was like a kid's manifestation
Conviction.
Of something. That's exactly that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
So this was in Mariah's reading, but I noticed that Gabby physically responded, and I thought, okay, God is showing her something about herself in this moment.
Mm.
So Proverbs chapter 12, verse 16 says this, the vexation of a fool is known at once, but the prudent ignores an insult. So I notice her respond to that. And so I say, Mariah, would you read that again? Mariah reads it again. And I said, Gabby, what is God saying to us?
Mm.
And she goes, oh. She said, you know, we should not show immediately when, and this is an issue for her,
mm-hmm.
right? She's 11
mm-hmm.
and she's got a very short fuse as far as being annoyed,
mm-hmm.
right? Now it's not a thing of like rage or anything like
right.
that, but it's just like, she's very impatient.
Yeah.
When she's trying to explain herself, if you don't understand what she's saying, she's mm-hmm. frustrated. She shuts down. If she's interrupted when she's speaking,
mm-hmm.
she's frustrated.
Right.
I'm talking, JD.
Yeah.
I hear this a lot. JD, I'm talking, you know? And I thought, okay, what does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is this? So there is a way for us, right, to control our emotions and not immediately respond to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't even need to ask her for personal application. Because I'm looking at her and I'm seeing that the Holy Spirit is doing his work.
His work. That's right.
He is the one who convicts.
And in that lies the difference, you know, with other books that just kind of resonate with us. And
yes,
we can say, oh, you know, I enjoy that. And the word of God was like you said, searches us.
Yeah. And as it says in Hebrews, pierces us.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Pierces deeply so that you can't even you can't even outrun it. You know, I mean, and we have all had these times, and this goes back to something that Pastor Joseph says all the time, that our kids do not have, as you led with, Holy Spirit Junior.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, it's so, cute. They're saved. No.
Yeah.
The same power,
amen.
Right? The amen. Same power that raised Jesus from the grave, right? Mm-hmm. This is the same power that lives inside of us. This Holy Spirit power that we understand that when we confess that we are sinners and we believe that what Jesus Christ has done is sufficient, we confess that the Lord is Lord, right? That we are saved.
Amen.
I mean, we are justified now by our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So if we present that to our children and they believe that, they now are our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So we address them accordingly.
Yeah, and I want to hear exactly Gabby's response to what you were saying, but it's so beautiful that we can read scripture. Like, you can read through Proverbs multiple times. You can read through any of this multiple times,
mm-hmm.
and God will show you another, you know, nuance or something else that you didn't see before, you know. And a lot of times it is because of maybe a situation that you're in at the present,
yeah,
that you were not in before,
yeah.
And it's like the word hits you just like another way.
Well, to say it succinctly, one of the things that she said is that you don't have to immediately respond when you're aggravated.
So she understood.
She understood that you don't have to immediately respond when you're aggravated.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, you know, I will agree that is difficult to do mm-hmm. in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But it saves you, as we continued reading through Proverbs chapter 12, I was pointing out to them that it saves you from some of the other folly that is pointed out in this passage.
Mm.
So again, remember, we educate our kids at home, so we don't compartmentalize their education. We don't say, okay, here's now your spiritual education, and then we'll get on to all the other stuff that matters in life. All of it matters in life, and all of it is done for the glory of God. So as we move on in verse 18, we read this passage, right? It says, and this is Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrusts.
Mm.
Man. But the tongue of the wise brings healing. So I said, man, what an amazing juxtaposition.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, a what? So I write the word down, and then I define it for them. And Gabby goes, that's like a spelling bee word, right? And so here's my point. So now we're learning vocabulary, right? And now we're defining words all because we're reading the Bible. So this is a total education here, right?
That's
so I'm saying, look at the Bible juxtaposing what controlled, wise words do against what rash words do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked them, I said, I want you to imagine for a second, imagine a soldier out there with his sword, and imagine there's someone else who maybe doesn't have armor and doesn't have a sword. And I said, and he just goes out there and he's just thrusting his sword. Imagine the injury there. Imagine what's going on.
Wow.
Well, the Bible is saying that our rash words are like sword thrusts. But look at the juxtaposition of what wise words do. Wise words bring healing. It's not even a direct opposite. It's not that the wise words stop the thrusting or remove the sword. No, it's that the wise words bring healing, so they go a step further.
Amen.
I know we got a break coming up here. We'll come back with more Hour of Intercession. This is Will and Miki filling in for Pastor Joseph Parker. We'll be right back.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that
Welcome back to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Will, joined by my wife, Miki, and we've been talking about applying the Word of God and even in educating, you know, our kids, you know. And I think what better way, you know, to just be able to show the power, you know, the relevance of the Word of God in an everyday practical way, you know, like using it as far as like homeschooling, you know. So I was just going to say so many conversations that arise, that come up and questions that come up, it boggles my mind. You know, I'm thinking like, man, at that age, I was not asking questions like that, you know? And so it's amazing to see that they can go far beyond what we think.
Yeah. Sometimes, like, just to be honest, sometimes it's frustrating, right? Because their questions are so deep.
Yeah.
And their questions, you know, I think of like when I was 9 and 10 and 13, I mean, you know, I don't know. I was content to take what I heard at face value. And so there are times like I joke with them and I don't mean this. And so I hope that our listeners will understand what I'm saying. But sometimes I joke with them and I'm like, like I'll find them just kind of reading over my shoulder or something like that. And I'm like, I should have never taught you to read. You know, like, but they just drill down so much. Yeah. They want to know everything about everything. One of the things that we try to teach them is logic, and we try to teach them reason. We try to teach them to defend their position. You know, we live in a time right now where there are no wrong answers. And we reject that.
Yeah.
Because the Bible teaches us that there is right and that there is wrong. There is black and there is white. And we have to agree with the Word of God. So, you know, there are times where we're discussing the Word of God and someone will say, oh, okay, so this means this. This is saying, and it's like, no, that's not what it's saying.
Yeah. Or, you know, you might have the whole thing of what I feel like it's saying.
Oh, my goodness.
I think. Nobody cares
what you think. What is God saying? God has a message.
Yeah.
He is saying something to his people. Yeah. And your job is to search that out.
Amen.
That's your job. Amen. And if they can learn that at the ages that they are now,
it
sets them up to faithfully follow the Lord Jesus Christ for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, they're ahead of the game big time.
Yeah.
You know, again, I think back, I wasn't asking questions like this. But I think it's because as parents, if you put a high premium on discipleship, you know, this is kind of what happens. Like
That's
you
right.
create an environment where you'll have children that would, you know, ask these questions. They'll think deeply about certain things that maybe if you didn't have that growing up, you know, you didn't so much do that.
That's exactly right. It's almost like you work yourself into working harder.
Yeah.
Because the more you disciple and the more you train, the more the questions abound and the more you have to answer those questions. And I'm grateful for it. You know, I don't want them to be overrun by modern philosophies. I don't want them to be taken advantage of by a wicked culture. And we see it. You know, we deal with these issues on a regular basis. And so we will often use some of the cultural backdrops of, you know, what's going on right now and use that as a starting point to talk about the authority of the Word of God and how so much of man's wickedness confirms that the Word of God is true.
Yeah.
Doesn't prove, but confirms that the Word of God is true.
Yeah.
The Word of God proves itself.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody who has read the Word of God, you know that the Word of God is alive. And I think we've had these, all of us have had these personal experiences where we are all sitting in a church type of environment where the word is being expounded upon. And even in that moment, you can have like 10 or 15 different people and the Holy Spirit is saying something to them about their state, even as the word is being exegeted, you know, and
amazing.
You know, right. It's
amazing.
it's alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the Holy Spirit is speaking and he is convicting hearts and he's drawing us to himself. And it's a wonderful thing. I was going to say, or I was going to ask you to talk a little bit about knowing the differences in our kids' personalities and in their giftings. I think that this is something that God has given you insight into with our kids. And so it's been important to you to shape them in the way or to kind of point them in the way that the Lord has designed them.
Yeah, and I'm going to come back with a question after I answer yours.
Okay.
Kind of similar, I was thinking about. But yeah, every person is different, have a different personality. Every child has a different personality, you know. And so you can look at those things that maybe that they are bent towards and help to nurture those things, you know. If one of your children are more geared towards being musical or, you know, artsy or whatever, I think we as parents should find a way to kind of set up a platform in which they can grow in that, you know. But I think the defining thing about it is that they would understand that they use their talents and giftings for the glory of God.
Amen.
You know, God, he hasn't given us these different giftings and talents just so that we can just spend it on ourselves.
That's right.
Make ourselves happy or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but how can we use these things for the glory of God? And so that's, for me, the chief of things, you know, on the list that, yeah, you have this ability. You can, you know, you're learning this, you're learning that, you like to do this, but how can we use this, you know, even as a family, towards, you know, promoting the kingdom of God?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's very important when you look at your children, you know, and you want them to, of course, follow God. You know, you want them to avoid things that would be destructive. And at the same time, you got to understand that some of these giftings and talents, it may be a gifting to where people are drawn to them.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they handle that?
Yeah.
How do we train them up to, you know, be humble in their giftings? You know, if they have a gifting of speaking or teaching or singing or whatever, those tend to draw people to you. And so you got to be able to, I think, instill within them, hey, you know, remember, the Bible says that a man is tested by the praises he receives.
Right.
You know,
right.
When someone's coming and saying, you did this, you did that, how I'm evaluating how they are taking that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have our son JD on the radio with us from time to time, and he gets a lot of compliments about, you know, being on the radio, and that's great. I think he does a great job, you know.
And he's sincere. Like,
he's sincere.
His thoughts are really his own.
He's very thoughtful. Yeah, and his thoughts are his own, you know, but I'm always looking at him to gauge, you know,
and his character handling.
Yeah, how he's taking it, because we've talked about the minute that he shows that he can't handle it, he won't be on with us.
He's not on.
You know, so I think all that is important when we're talking about, you know, looking at our kids and seeing the different giftings and talents and being able to nurture those things.
You saw in JD a development, like a teaching gift in him, and also he's kind of been given this this scholastic mind, I guess I would describe it as. He's inquisitive, but he processes complex things. Like, he just, you know, we read things and then we think, well, let me explain that. And man, he will often say to us, I understand that.
Yeah.
He says, I get that. I understand that. I mean, I'm talking reading Paul.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Reading Paul makes you grateful for the Holy Spirit, because you're like, there's no way we'd understand what Paul was saying without the help of the Holy Spirit. And Peter said this.
Yeah.
Peter says in 2 Peter that our brother Paul writes things that are difficult to understand, which the wicked and unlearned twist for their own gain. Right. So Peter even understood that sometimes it's difficult to understand Paul. But we're reading some of these complex things.
Yeah.
And JD will understand this. And so you said, man, we need to feed that.
Yeah.
So you recently undertook to go through a book with him. Talk about that.
Yeah, because, you know, that's another key, I think. When you see it, you try to give them things to be able to expand that more.
Yeah.
And so we read together A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God. And the thing is, J.D., when we started reading the book, so it was exciting to start, you know.
Yeah.
But then going through it, he was like, he would get kind of frustrated with the language.
The language.
Because, you know, the scriptures that were used were all King James. Yeah. And, you know, it was at a different time, you know.
So Tozer spoke differently. He wrote differently.
Yeah, so he used some words that we don't use, you know,
today,
in everyday language. And so he was getting kind of frustrated. He was like, man, stumbling, and we would read it out loud. So he would read a chapter, I would read a chapter.
Yeah.
But I had to tell him this is good because this is going to help you.
That's right.
To be able to read this type of material. And he told me one time, he was like, I'm starting to understand how this guy speaks.
Yes.
You know, I can kind of understand it now.
Which is wonderful.
You know, and I think we have to push it that way. You know, because JD, he has a great mind and he can understand things, but he still has to be pushed, you know, to go a little further because, you know.
He'll be lazy.
Yeah, he'll be lazy about it.
Yeah,
exactly.
He'll be lazy. He'll sit back and if it's low-hanging fruit, he'll eat that.
Right.
And so I think what we need to do is clear the low-hanging fruit and make him climb a little bit.
And he can have fun with some books, you know, books with some pictures and stuff. That's cool. But I want him to have, you know, some other books as well. So I told him this yesterday. I asked him, JD, are you reading any books?
Yeah.
He's like, no.
Yeah.
I want him to read at least one, to be reading at least one book, you know.
Every month, yeah.
Yeah, because I think for his mind and what I see in him, it's going to do him, you know, well. And he may not appreciate it now, but I really feel like in the future it's going to aid him. And what God has for him to do.
And see, this is why I feel like we make such a great team, Will, because I'm the teacher, but you're the principal. And so for you to step into our, you know, classroom, so to speak, and to say, hey, this is what you're required to do, that helps me as a teacher because we have five kids. And so all of them have these different needs. And sometimes as a mom, it feels like it's coming at me fast.
Yeah.
And so for you to kind of take that panoramic view and to say, man, I'm looking long term and it's going to serve him well that he continues to grow in his intellect. It encourages me. Right.
Yeah.
And then it gives me sort of a guidepost to say, OK, well, this is what I need to do. I need to make sure that he has these books at his disposal so that when you say next time, which is what this did, because I heard you ask him that last night. So but what that does for me is it says, OK, teacher, you know, you got to make sure that you have these books so that when he's asked what he's reading, it's not for lack of access to these books that he's supposed to be reading every month.
Yeah.
It is just maybe he didn't do it. So then it's his responsibility.
Right.
So I appreciate that because it just shows how it really does take both of us knowing our kids and working together as a team to rear them for the glory of God.
Yeah, it does in the same way with Mariah. You know, I have to be reminded remind myself to ask her about her piano lessons because we've seen in her from a young age a musical ability. Like she has an ear for hearing music and you know and rhythms and all that kind of stuff. So we're trying to nurture that, and I think she likes the piano.
She really does.
It's not something that she's doing against her will, but I think that again there's a laziness that's kind of like you know, and so you gotta kind of.
She is a perfectionist.
That. Yeah.
So if she doesn't get it immediately and it doesn't feel like she has, you know, mastered it, then she is done.
Yeah.
She wants it to be easy.
Yeah.
And so we try to explain to her that anything that you're going to reap the reward of, the benefit, it takes hard work and it takes labor. You don't go after vain pursuits, you know. In fact, you know, maybe about a year ago, I had a conversation with her. This was during quote unquote school, you know, but all day is school, right? I mean, school doesn't end when, I mean, you're all, you know, all day teaching. And, but we had a conversation during one of those kind of times where you don't expect this conversation to pop up, but it's during math time. And, you know, just talking to her about the importance of math. And so I just asked her a question. I said, you know, Mariah, what is it that you think you might want to do for a living? You know, when you grow up, like, what is it that you think you might want to do, looking at your giftings and things like that? And your daughter.
My daughter.
Your daughter. So you know that what follows is not the best. Your daughter said that she wanted to be a YouTube star. So, you know, as a parent, you have a moment where you're like, really?
Right.
You know, you're like, is that what we're doing here? Because I'm investing a lot in you. Is that what we're doing? You just, that's what you want to be when you grow up. You know, just a person that gets a lot of likes on YouTube. That's what you want to, you know. And so, man, it turned into probably about 45 minutes of us talking about living for the glory and honor of God, that we don't desire to do things that are popular. We don't desire to do everything just because the world is doing it or because the culture is producing it. but that we have been given gifts and abilities by God. Amen. That we're supposed to give back to him. And the way we give those things back is that we use them in service to him, you know? Mm. So we're not chasing after vain pursuits. Well, you know, months go by and she's processing this and thinking about it. And she's kind of tailored her answer a little bit, you know, to be more in line with what we allow. And now, you know, she says, it's not so much that I want to be a YouTube star. She says, I just feel like I have creative gifts.
Yeah.
And she goes, and I would like to use those in that type of setting. And right. I understand that. And right. I think that's great. I think that's a place for Christians to infiltrate.
Right.
And that's a place for Christians to bring glory to God. But the aim must be to bring glory to God, not
that's
just
it.
To be a YouTube star.
Right. Yeah. That's
you know,
it.
And in fact, we were reading today, Proverbs chapter 12, and this is verse 11. And so I turned to Mariah during this one. And I said, hey, you know, this is really interesting, isn't it? But Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11 says, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits lacks sense.
Wow. Well, there you go.
Let's grab the break and come back with more Hour of Intercession on American Family Radio. This is Will and Miki in for Pastor Joseph. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Hour of Intercession. I'm Will, joined by my wife, Miki, and we're just having a great discussion about our family, our kids, and how we use the Word of God to practically, you know, teach them. And I had a question for you, mm-hmm. as being the primary teacher. How do you keep them engaged, like when you're going through the scriptures and things like that? Because you're talking about morning time, you're talking about not really feeling like it sometimes. So how do you pull that out of them to keep them engaged and, you know, in what we're doing, what you're doing?
Man, that's a great question, because we're also talking about engaging children,
mm-hmm.
right? And so we as adults understand the importance of the Word of God. And I think what we're trying to do is to create a passion, the same passion in our kids. So first, I will say this, you know, I come to the table with my own cup of coffee.
So right? You have to be awake first.
Yeah. So mornings start at 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
The kids wake up to their alarms, and I do that intentionally. I was for a while getting them up because they were too young to really, you know, so I was kind of that ease them into the day.
Right, right, right.
But as they get older, you know, I'm building adults. Right.
Yeah.
And I take it very seriously. And so I want them to understand that the world runs on clocks.
Yeah. So you have to be on time.
So you have to be on
ready
time.
To go.
Right. So your alarm gets set and 7 a.m. it goes off. And if you're at the table at 7:15, 7:16. If you're
16,
at the table at 7,
weird.
Well,
okay.
They have to be there by 7:15.
Oh, so if they're
so
there.
So if you're at the table 7:16,
gotcha.
You're late.
So when you say there, you mean they're like, you know, hair comb. I mean, like, you know, not hair
well,
comb. Well,
because
how
we
formal.
Because we school at home, yeah. There are some things that I do allow for them. So they can come in their pajamas.
Okay.
But they have to have washed their face and brushed their teeth.
Okay.
And so if we start a discussion, this is really, we're all family here. We start a discussion and I'm offended by your morning breath.
Stop the discussion.
You didn't get it right. Get up, get away from this table right now in my space, go brush your teeth and come back. We're not doing this. But if they are there at 7:16, then they lose their privileges for the day.
For the day.
For the day. So that means wow. anything that you would do for your own leisure and enjoyment and free mm-hmm. time, that is lost.
So I'm pretty sure they're on time.
They are now. It only takes one time.
Right.
It takes one time of transgressing, yeah. right? And then right. realizing that the consequences are real. But then to your point, though, so I love the Word of God, as you know. I enjoy teaching it. I enjoy studying it. I enjoy learning who God is in His Word. And so what I try to do is make sure that I'm genuine with them, that I'm honest with them, and that they see that excitement. So I'm very expressive just naturally.
Yeah.
So I'm expressive when I'm teaching them. I use a lot of illustrations. If there's a concept that I think may be difficult for them, I try to make it real for their age, right?
You're good at that.
Well, I appreciate it. I just enjoy doing it. I enjoy seeing the light bulb go off for them. Mm-hmm. But can I tell you, very practically speaking, like how do I keep them engaged? It is as simple as saying, hey. Hey. You.
So you see them trailing off.
I
you
do.
Like
I do.
Bring them
I
back.
Get them. I get them. Hey, you, look at me. Hey, you, over
that,
there.
That's equivalent to teachers throwing the eraser.
That's exactly what it is. Boom. We sit around the table.
I don't think they can do that anymore.
Yeah, no, anyway. You don't. No, that's probably. But, you know, every good kid needs to have an eraser thrown at him or her just once to keep them alert. But no, sometimes it's just, hey, you, yeah. you're not with me. Stay right. with me here.
Yeah.
And so what I also allow for. The humor of God's word to run its course.
Yeah.
Because there's humor in God's word. Like yeah. there is, you know, that is naturally engaging for a child. So we've been studying through the book of Acts, okay. right? And when I say studying, I mean going back and looking at these historical locations and right. looking at the journey of the Apostle Paul and just looking at the spread and the growth of the Lord's church, right? Mm. And so as we go through, there are things that you don't want to tell a kid they can't laugh at that when you know that just on its face, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like you just go, oh, my yeah. goodness. Now you can see. And so, for example, when Paul and Barnabas, I'm laughing already, when Paul and Barnabas are in Lystra,
mm-hmm.
okay, and the Lord uses Paul to perform this miracle. There's a man who is lame from birth.
Yeah.
And the Bible says that Paul looks over and sees that he has faith to be made whole. And so, you know, he tells him to stand up and the man gets up. And all of the inhabitants of Lystra, they come over to them and they're worshiping them as if they are Zeus and Hermes.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh, it's Zeus and Hermes come down in the flesh, and they're worshiping them. And now this is not funny, but I'll tell you what, you know, we saw the humor in it at the end. So, but Paul and Barnabas are outraged, and Paul is like, this is the kind of stuff that God calls you to turn from. Mm-hmm. These vain mm-hmm. things. Why are you doing this? You know? Mm-hmm. So, and which, by the way, this might be exactly how I would personify this. Like, yeah. as we're reading through, I would stop and I would say, now, guys, get this. All right? I want you to understand what is happening here. So I might replay it for them in modern day vernacular, like yeah. just how we would talk about it, and they get it. Well, anyway, after Paul and Barnabas go through this whole, like, you know, listen, do not worship us. We are mere men just like you. God calls you to turn from these vain things. He has, you know, overlooked these things, but he has proven to you that he exists. He's given you water for your crops. He's mm-hmm, going through mm-hmm. telling all the reasons why the true and living God exists.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Bible says, even with those words, they could scarcely restrain the people from worshiping, from worshiping them anyway.
Man, wow.
So the kids, like, understand the tragic humor in that.
Yeah.
That they say we are mere. So it shows them the folly of idolatry.
Right.
It's utter foolishness that you would take these men who, number one, tell you we are men like you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number two, they point you to the true and living God who should be worshiped. And even with that, these people are like, no, we still want to worship y'all. Worship. Oh, yeah, thank you so much. But no, we still want to, you know.
Man.
And so I allow for them to laugh at that.
Yeah.
I allow for them to see how ridiculous it is. It's almost like an Elijah moment.
Yeah.
You know, when Elijah is on Mount Carmel.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. A few years back, we were reading that, and that was hard for Mariah because she didn't understand why Elijah was mocking.
She thought he was gloating.
She thought that was rude. You remember that?
Lord, yeah.
Yeah. And I said, she said,
"Wasn't his own power.
Isn't it enough just for the fire to come down?" She said, "Mommy, I just don't understand." You know, and this was a few years back.
Yeah,
you know, I don't understand. And I think it's because we teach them not to gloat and not to mock. And I said, but no, Elijah was not gloating in his own ability. He was making his boast in the Lord. Right. He was showing how powerful God is, that God will answer by fire. And he was trying to also, again, show the folly of the prophets of Baal worshiping these false gods.
Yeah.
Right. That look at maybe your God's on the toilet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe he's taking a nap,
right.
You know, but really what he is doing is not it is the sort of the literary equivalent of what he is physically doing with digging the trenches and putting the water.
Yeah.
Now, this is the literary equivalent of it. He's using his words to show that there is no God but the Lord Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other God but the God of heaven and earth. And so anyway, but one of the things that I do to try to engage them is in very practical ways. Hey, you listen.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I forget their names. There's five of them, Will.
Right. So it's kind of like you.
So
right
you
there,
right there,
you.
The one who's,
you know,
looking
who I'm
down.
Talking to. Yeah. You know, it's funny that you talked about the humor that could be in the word of God. I think I was listening to the Bible recently, and it was the scene where Jesus was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he was like, "Woe unto you, Pharisees, woe, woe, woe." And then I think a scribe, if I'm not getting it wrong, rose up and said, "We're offended too," or one of the lawyers, you know, "We're offended too." And then Jesus went to them like, "Woe to you." It's like, you can
you
get
can
some
get
too.
You can get in on this
you
as
can
well.
Get some too. You lawyer.
That's
you know.
Right. That's
so, you know, there is that humor there. And I think we should allow, you know, for the word of God just to be what it is. You know, we can feel all those different emotions, and we should allow our kids, you know, to feel that as well. So I think that's good.
I want them to enjoy the word of God.
Yeah.
I want them to understand that the word of God is to be revered, but that it is not a stale, my favorite word, curmudgeon book. Right.
Yeah.
That you just you take it off a shelf and you blow it off because you're going through hard times. I don't want them to live that way. I don't want them to think that it is only to be read on Sundays or in Bible study settings. I want them to understand that this is their book for life, and that it searches you, that it's a historical document as well. It is an amazing work. And the only way that you can do that is that you make it a part of your life every single day, that you're reading it together. Mm. That you're laughing, that you're weeping, that you're mourning.
Yeah.
You allow for there to be some, and I will be careful in how I express this, but you allow for there to be that moment where you say, you know, guys, that's just difficult to explain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand when the Apostle Paul is in Romans 9, 10, and 11, and he's talking about God's sovereign choice.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about, you know, what if I raised up Pharaoh for this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if I did this with, you know, and when your kids read that and you're going through and they say, wait a minute, you know, why is Pharaoh judged? God hardens his heart, you know, and what?
Yeah.
Those things are difficult to understand.
That's another thing. You have difficult topics like that. You know, you have like, you know, who was it? Lot and his daughters, you know, like how do you, you know, so those type of things. But the word of God is the word of God, and we don't have to. And I know God spoke to you even concerning that.
Oh, Will. So this was maybe about 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And we started reading through Genesis. You know, we'll kind of pick a place and I hope that we're doing that according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. But we were going through Genesis and this was as the kids were kind of getting their feet wet with the word of God, and we start in the beginning and looking at, you know, and then we get to Lot and his daughters and when I knew we're just gonna tell it 100.
Yeah.
And so we get to Lot and his daughters and how the daughters devise the plan so that they will not die off, that they're gonna make their father drunk. And you know this,
right.
You can go read it for yourself.
It's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible, you know. And I remember getting to that part and saying, okay, guys, well, we are done for today.
Yeah.
We are done for today. And because I didn't think that they were ready. I didn't think that they could process incest. I didn't want that to be, I just didn't know. And I remember closing the Bible and your oldest at the time, mm-hmm. and she still is, but at the time, you know, maybe like 9 or 10, whatever, yeah. however, you know. And she was like, why'd you stop? She was like, wait a minute. She could sense blood in the water. She was like, wait, oh, there's something in there you don't yeah. want. And then she's like, you know, I can read. And I'm like, I know you can, but what I'm saying is let's just stop for today. And so I agonized over that, Will. Mm. I remember just like, Lord, you know, and as I was praying through this, the Holy Spirit really spoke to my heart. Mm. And what I heard in my heart was, you can trust me yeah. with my word.
Yeah.
And I was convicted. I was convicted because it's in the word of God, mm-hmm. you know, but for some reason I thought, you know, no,
right.
no,
not right know. Now. Or, you
and
know.
So if I could go back
yeah.
and if I could do that again, mm-hmm. I would do it quite differently.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I would go back and I would use it as an opportunity to teach them about prescriptive and descriptive text mm-hmm. in the Bible. We do that now, mm-hmm. you know, but at that point I wasn't thinking that way. I was mm-hmm. just thinking, we just read through and we just right. show, you know, but I would have, that provides a defense for the gospel. That provides a defense for the scriptures, that there are things in the scriptures that describe, meaning it's just telling you what happened. It's not prescribing that. Mm-hmm. And that would have been a wonderful opportunity for me to do that, but yeah. I was too chicken. I wasn't thinking that way. I just thought,
no, those are,
you know,
yeah, but those are difficult scenarios. Like, that's not, you know, but it's, again, the Lord spoke to your heart and, you know, comforted you about how to approach that. So that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah. Yeah. It was tough. Well, I was so uncomfortable. I think if I could have, and I'm animated in my mind, if I could have really just kind of animated that, mm. I would have been sweating profusely.
Yeah.
That's what I would have been doing. Stuttering.
Literally.
You know what I mean? Anyway, I hope that this has been an encouragement to parents and grandparents listening. Our children carry the gospel. Mm. We're supposed to be passing it down to them first so that they pass it down to the next generation. We can do it if we will.
Amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening to Hour of Intercession on AFR.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.